The following AA talk was recorded at the weekly Never Had a Legal Drink group of Alcoholics Anonymous. The opinions of the speaker do not necessarily represent those of the group or AA as a whole. Rather, this story represents one person's experience. If you have a desire to stop drinking and would like help, contact Alcoholics Anonymous at www.aa.org, or you can find AA listed in your local telephone book. AA's Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
And now to share his experience, strength, and hope with us, we have Earl.
Come on, Earl. Clear? All right. Earl Alcoholic. Earl. Get my timing device going on here. All right, talk till 9, right? Aha, kidding. My sobriety date is October the 1st, 2006. I have a sponsor. I sponsor guys. My home group is Ninjas in Recovery. Meets Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock, over on Union Square. And I'm not anyone special up here. I'm just a regular alcoholic who's going to talk about my experience in recovering from alcoholism. And we do recover. That's what's pretty cool. You know, they told me in treatment that I'm going to be permanently crazy. And although I have some pretty cool ideas, the voices have gone away. For the most part, you know. And when they come back, I got something to do about it. And if you don't like anything I have to say, talk to your sponsor and talk to Jennifer down here. She's the one who got me to speak. So, and give her your contact information. Anyway, I'm just supposed to tell you what it was like, what the hell happened, and what it's like today. It's cool. It's like not what it's like now. It's like what is it like today? Because today is really, it's the most important day I got because it's really the only one that matters. It's like right here, right now. It says, you know, and how it works. Like, may you find him now. Like, may you find God now. And which is crazy. That's the last place I would ever think of looking for anything is like right here, right now. I'm always like a week out, maybe 5 years out. I'm thinking dying alone here, 20 years down the line. Or I'm thinking about, like, yesterday or the conversation I just had or, like, 6 months ago and how I screwed up and I should have said this and now I won't get what I want later. So it's pretty cool to be right here on 22nd Street at 8 o'clock, you know, and actually get to be here. So like most alcoholics, I was born. I was born 1986. It's going to put me at 25 years young. And I have a very dysfunctional alcoholic family. They are dysfunctional because I was a part of it. I don't know about them and their drinking. Maybe it's in there, maybe it's not. I don't know how much it really matters, you know. I always had these great stories about being the poor kid at the rich kid school, being the half-Protestant kid at the Catholic school. Having corduroy bell bottoms, which I wish I still had now. You know how it is. It's like I was athletic, but I wasn't the best athlete. You know, it was funny, but I don't know if I was like the guy. You know, and so it's like I kind of lived in this weird area of like I'm less than these people over here, so I can't hang out with these kids because they're way too cool. But the other kids, I am way too cool for. I don't want anything to do with them. And so I kind of started to throw on this, like, persona of, like, well, what did I need to be? And you know what? I, at a young, maybe I'm like 14, I figure out that I'm just much better being by myself because I don't really have to pretend or anything. I can just, you know, just go off in the library, sit in a corner, and just be by myself. It was like more relaxing to just be by myself because when I'm around people, like, I'm crazy, you know? And all right, so I started drinking to be cool. I was like 14 or 15. Someone's like, "Hey, man, do you drink?" And I'm like, "Oh, dude, do I drink? I kill it." And he's like, "All right, man, like, let's get drunk." So I got drunk, and the next day, I was so sick. I threw. You know, like, you ever been in an airplane and you see the little bags that people throw up, and you're like, "Man, who would ever use these things?" This guy. I had that thing opened up at about 8 a.m. and was just letting it fly. That was my first experience with drinking. Now, in between those drinks and the throwing up in the airplane, some other stuff went down, which I'm not about to say from up here. It's one of those things where if it happened to you and if you did it and you woke up the next day and you're like, "Man, that was pretty fucked up." We can bleep it, right? Yeah, he said he can bleep it. You would think that you wouldn't do it anymore. Like, if you eat something you're allergic to and you have to go to the hospital and all this awful stuff happens, you don't eat it anymore. But there's something about alcohol where I just don't have that choice. And I could lie to you, and I would come up with reasons. I'm like, "Well, I love the taste of alcohol. That's why I drink." You know what? I also love the taste of Gatorade. I have not bought 24 bottles of Gatorade, sat down with them, and intended to drink all 24 bottles of Gatorade. And I like Gatorade. I'll drink Gatorade if it's been in the refrigerator, but I will not drink it if it's been out in the sun all day. I will do that with alcohol. And you know what? This is Alcoholics Anonymous. I know some meetings are cool to talk about drugs. I'll say this. I did drugs, and I did them alcoholically. A guy like me should not do certain drugs. You can give me Advil. I'll be great. I'll take 4 Advil every hour on the hour. I will not think about crushing these Advil up. Give me something else, and I will have a very different reaction. And so I believe I'm also allergic to certain kind of pills and other substances. So. All right, I'm drinking. It's fun. It's awesome. It does for me what I can't do for myself, and that is it kills. Like, I have, like, all right, I've got the voices, right? I've got the one that's always going on, like, "Dude, why did you just do that? What are you doing? These people are thinking of you," except, like, on and on and on and on. And I mean, it's there's no freedom from that. There was never a moment's peace. I mean, to get biblical with it, it's like demons, right? I mean, I would wake up and they would be like, "Hey, Earl, good morning. We got a few things to run past you here. Glad you're awake." And so I started to look for ways to get outside of that, to get around that. Relationships were great for that. Money, excellent. New shiny things, just as good. But the problem is I'm an alcoholic and I've got the mind of a chronic alcoholic, and we talk about being restless, irritable, and discontent in the doctor's opinion. My problem, I thought it was the drinking, right? "Oh, I just need to not drink," right? Look, every time I picked up a drink, which was in my history a very bad idea, I was sober when I thought that. And so this is kind of looking at step 2 here. It's like, "Earl, you have a tremendous track record of drinking not being a good idea, and yet every time you went to take a drink, your brain was like, 'Yo, dude, full speed ahead, this is good. Go get it.'" That's pretty insane, you know. And my thinking is warped to the point of no psychology, no therapy, no love from my family, no love from a significant other is going to ever be able to get me to not go there. And that's so crazy because my brain, which is so great for other things, like, "Hey, I'm hungry. What are you hungry for? Let's go get some Chinese food. Okay, good idea." Or like, "Hey, it looks like it's about to rain. I'll put on a jacket," you know. My brain is good for certain things, but there's something about alcohol where I'm curiously insane. It says that I've got this curious twist when it comes to thinking about drinking. And so it's like, how do you beat that? You know, how do you have a problem in like a disease of perception in your brain that you, you're going to outthink it, right? You know, like in Bill's story, it's like, oh, self-knowledge. This is the answer. Yeah. So anyway, I went to treatment and I was not an alcoholic. So I kept drinking in treatment. Right. This was news to me. And I'm going to AA meetings. But you know what? You guys were nice people, but you just didn't have anything for me because I had problems, and what you guys were offering was a spiritual solution. Are they up here? Yeah, okay. Yeah, it says God like 7 times back there, right? I'm not stupid. I came in here. I know what you guys mean by him, right? I know what you mean by spiritual. It meant that there was going to be no sex before marriage, and I was going to have nothing to do with that, and it meant me giving up stuff and running this risk of giving up what I think I need to have, and I was not about to take that risk. I was not about to turn anything over to anybody. And so I couldn't stay here. I wanted what you guys had. I just couldn't stay here. But I didn't even think I needed what you guys had because I had a spiritual problem, but it didn't look like a spiritual problem, right? It looked like a money deficiency. Right, it looked like I wasn't doing the right combination of drugs and alcohol. You know, it looked like I needed to just get invited to some cooler parties with some cooler clothes. That's what I needed. Now, Alcoholics Anonymous kind of is making you a mafia offer if you take this disease far enough, because it's like, we're gonna make you an offer that you can't refuse because you're dying. And here was my last drink. I'm 20 years old, and I had been sober 10 months, but when my higher power broke up with me, the vacancy was back. And you know what that's like, right? You know, it's I sleep all day, but I'm never really rested, and I don't sit still. And I'm the restless, irritable discontents, and it's like, what do? I need relief. And so I'll treat my alcoholism one of two ways. I'll either treat it with a power greater than myself, or I'll treat it with alcohol, you know? And so basically I'm thinking about killing myself because, let's face it, you're not happy getting drunk anymore. I drank more than I ever had before. I'm in the handicap stall doing this number right here on the handrails, and the worst thing that could have happened. It was never the physical consequences. I had ulcers. I mean, I was nuts. I couldn't even take a bong rip without throwing up. I mean, that's how shot my stomach was. Right? And the worst thing that could have happened, which is that I'm throwing up. I cannot physically put anything else into my body, and my brain is going, hey, now that we've got your attention here, I wonder what your ex is doing right now. Boy, aren't you cool, throwing up at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday night in the handicap stall. Way to be, dude, you know? And it's like, all right. I was not about to spend the next 40 years of my life with that kind of talk going on. And so I'm like, you know what? I think the best way would just be to kill myself. But before I did that, I'm like, I'll come back to AA. But I didn't want to come back because this stuff, it didn't work. I had done some of it. It didn't work. I'm the guy who just knows stuff before doing it, you know? Hey, Earl, you want to go over here? No. Oh, have you been there before? No, I just know I won't like it, you know? So here's what happens. I make the call to a guy that I was his treatment center counselor a little bit like before this, and he comes down, he picks me up, puts me in his car, packs up all my stuff, and he pulls out this little notebook. He's like, all right, we're going to do step one. I'm like, no, we're not. He's like, yeah. Are you willing to go to any lengths? And I'm like, but you know what had happened was that I was just tired. Like, I was just tired. I had tried everything that there was that I could try. And I was like, I don't even believe alcoholics. I don't even believe the steps are going to work. There's nothing here for me. But that little voice that was always like, hey, we got something better going on. It was finally like, dude, what do you got to lose? You know, your life sucks. You're thinking of killing yourself. And even though I'm thinking of killing myself, I'm like, oh, tell me about this alcoholic death. Like, maybe there is something else besides God. Come on. And if you're new here, you know, we're talking about God, yes, but it's not the God that I thought it was when I came in here. And I think the overwhelming experience is that you discover what it really is to you. You know, my whole life had been people telling me what God was. God loves you. God's this, God's that. But you know what? I had no experience with God. I had like a Santa Claus God that never really hooked it up for me, right? So I thought. But it's like, if someone was like, hey, I know this person who is like everything you could possibly want in a significant other. I mean, beautiful, funny, rich, spiritual, that's important now. Everything. I'm like, wow, that's great. And they're like, yeah, and I'm going to introduce you to, go get a wedding ring right now. You got to seal the deal. I'm going to be like, whoa, can I at least go on some dates first? I don't know anything about this person. So why is it any different with me and God? You know? And so all I really needed was to be willing to believe, and I wasn't even willing to believe in God. I was, however, willing to believe in the 12 steps temporarily. I said, but I didn't even think they were work. So that's really where I'm starting here. I'm going, well, I'm just going to get to step 12 and kill myself. So screw you guys. I'm going to show you how you're wrong, and you're all stupid, boring God people. And and today I am a stupid, boring God person, and I'm all about it, all about it. I can't believe, for someone who thinks he's like so smart, it sure does take me a long time to get things in this program. All right, I'm not drinking. I'm going to meetings. I work steps. I'm sponsoring guys. But 2 years, 1.5 years, the noise comes back, right? It's crazy. And I'm doing everything I can do. I've gotten this new relationship, right? And it's one of these really unhealthy AA relationships that we get. I was new when we started dating. She continued to stay new as we were dating. we'd break up and, relapse. And then I'd be like, oh, great, you're back. Cool, let's get back together. That's a different story altogether. I was doing the best I could at the time with the knowledge that I had. And so the noise is back, and I go to my home group. I go to my sponsor's home group. I am seeking out my sponsor because this is not good. This is not good. I'm sponsoring a lot of dudes. I'm just out of my mind. And I go to Andy. I go, Andy, I need to talk. And he goes, Earl, I'm a little busy right now. I'm like, dude, you're my sponsor? Like, come on. It's not what I'm paying you for, you know? I'm not paying my sponsor if you're new. You don't pay your sponsors in here. I got to remember this. So then he turns around and starts talking to someone at the homeless shelter, right? And I'm thinking, I've got it bad, but I did. So I go to Angry Dave. Angry Dave, no one was talking to Angry Dave. He was just smoking a cigarette off in the corner. And this is what I said. I go, Angry Dave, have you ever felt like this? And this is all I said. I go, that you are doing everything right, but you just feel crazy. And that's all I said. And he looks at me, he goes, have you made all your amends? And it was like, son of a bitch. I said, how did you know this? It's kind of like a duh thing, apparently. If you're doing everything and something's not working, maybe there's some unmade amends, you know? My friend who's not here tonight, he says, it's a 12-step program. There are 12 steps. If you do 11, it does not count. I'm like, yeah. So anyway, and you know why I didn't make my amends? Is because God wasn't big enough and because I was still running the show, right? I looked at these amends that cost money I didn't have. I'm like, I don't even have this money. I'm not even making my rent. And my sponsor's like, it doesn't matter. You don't let God do it. It's like, no, God can't do it. What are you talking about? And what had happened was I was in so much self-reliance in so many areas of my life that I'd only thought I surrendered. And so there's something that they don't talk about too much anymore, but they talk about the second surrender, like the old-timers. The second surrender, which is in the third step, they talk about, is he not a victim of the delusion that he can wrest happiness and satisfaction out of this life by managing well? And that was me. I got it, I couldn't drink. Got it, I didn't drink is bad. But I didn't get this idea that I had to turn over my will and my life. And that meant that I probably didn't know what I needed to be happy. That meant that I probably should just kind of go along with the AA program and see what happened. And I'll tell you guys what happened. I made all those amends. Money that I didn't have just showed up. People I was afraid to see, didn't know where they were, they just popped up too. Things like, oh, I thought I made amends. No, I guess I didn't. I made amends. I was doing things I was too afraid to do. Because fear, it says, you know, I don't know, what page is it on? 68? Yeah, page 68, the fear page. It says, we asked God, or it says, we reviewed our fears thoroughly. We asked ourselves why we had them. And it says, wasn't it because self-reliance failed us, you know? I have fear, which is really my only problem, quite frankly. I mean, the bigger problem is that I don't allow God into my life where God needs to be. And as a result, I have fear. And they call it the evil and corroding thread. Everything has got this evil and corroding thread in its fear. And like, why do you have fear? Isn't it because you're afraid that if you don't get it to work out the way you need to get it to work out, that it's not going to work out? Mm-hmm. And you know what? What a way to, yeah, cool, to rob myself of what this program offers, which is a spiritual way of life. You know, I was in fear the other day. I'm talking to my spouse. He goes, bro, look, you are robbing yourself of the fruits of a spiritual life, which is that, hey, I don't have to worry about anything. Anything. Why? Because God is huge, you know? It says, you know, we had to face that proposition, God's everything or he's nothing. And you know what? God can only be as big in my life as I am willing to let God into my life. And so I looked at how I was about to drink, pushing 3 years, and I said, you know what? God, you're either everything or you're nothing. I made these amends. God, all my friends started drinking again, and this, I guess relationship's kind of a catch-all word, but whatever I was doing with this person had to come to an end, and so that came to an end. I was terrified about it, right? 30 breakups later, this one finally stuck. Yeah, that's right. And you know why? Because I was just doing what I thought God needed me to do. And I go to my sponsor, go, Andy, I think I want to move to New York City. And he goes, did you pray about it? Yeah. Did you meditate? Yeah. He goes, well, do it. I'm like, okay. And you got a lot of people going, oh my God, what are you're moving, you don't have a job, oh, you're doing this, you're doing that. How can you do this? You know why? Because I think my experience with my higher power has been that as long as I perform his will to the best of my ability and get close to him, does he provide what I need? And that's one of the promises out of the third step, you know. I came up here and I just started to go to meetings. Just went to meetings. Went to a lot of meetings. I came up here and I started to sponsor guys. I still sponsor guys. I came up here and I just tried not to think about myself so damn much. And you know what? Hey, it's worked out pretty good. I'm doing things I didn't even know I wanted to do. I've got a life today that, hey, I've had some pretty wild dreams. And I'm talking, this is like an alternate reality, you know? It's cool. And it's like today, you know, doing 10, 11, and 12, it's like, I thought I'd be bored with AA by now, you know, I thought I'd be bored going to all these meetings, talking about the same stuff, but it's like this, there's something here. There is something that, that I've always wanted here, and it's that feeling of just being okay, and that's here. But it does require doing things that I think are stupid, like helping people. Hate it. I mean, I want to talk about my bad day, and I got a guy who's like dying of alcoholism, and he's like, yeah, I'm dying. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. well, I hate my dad, you know? And I don't. But that's the type, it's so petty. I have a disease of perception. You know, I have a disease that just, well, my brain is wrong. Most of the time when my head says something, it's like, well, thanks for sharing, Earl. We'll check back with you later. And so how do I get closer to my higher power is I get closer to you guys. I think I can measure the distance between me and God, the distance between me and you is always my litmus test. And again, and the whole helping others thing, I know this is my last minute here, is really where the good dope is in AA. I don't do this stuff because I'm a nice guy. I do this stuff because I like how it makes me feel. And I did it in the beginning because I had to, because again, I'm getting this mafia offer here. But now I do it because I love to do it. And I'm not like one of these God people up here, like, who's just, you know, oh, just love God. Like, no. My experience with my higher power is actually real. And it was as a result of coming, hanging out with you guys, doing the action, doing things I didn't want to do, with people I didn't want to do it. And, yeah, that's cool. So that's 25 minutes. Thank you guys for listening.
The preceding AA talk was recorded at the weekly Never Had a Legal Drink group of Alcoholics Anonymous. The opinions of the speaker do not necessarily represent those of the group or AA as a whole. Rather, this story represents one person's experience. If you have a desire to stop drinking and would like help, contact Alcoholics Anonymous at www.aa.org, or you can find AA listed in your local telephone book.